Dr. Just here today?
Well, I will do the reading. We have two readings today. As I said earlier, I wanted to try and blend together Memorial Day and Ascension Sunday. And the passage that I know you've all heard, it's the end of every gospel, it's the end of the Great Commission. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. No matter what we're going to go through, Jesus Christ is with us to the end of the age. One of the other scriptures that I've chosen today, and this one is, I'm going to try and tie it into Ascension Sunday. If you would turn to Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 29. Luke chapter 1, 26 to 29. I normally give a little introductory to this. I guess I don't have to today. It says here, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." You know, you may think that's a strange verse to begin with for Ascension Sunday, but I'm hoping to tie that in later on, and I hope you see why it is, and I'll give you a hint. And we're going to turn to Acts chapter 1, verses 9 to 11. Acts chapter 1, 9 to 11. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven, as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who is taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way you saw him go into heaven." The Ascension story. I have to confess, it took me a while to find that. I assumed this was going to be at the end of one of the Gospels. It's not. It's actually the beginning of the second book of Luke, if you will, the book of Acts. So that was interesting. We're going to have Sarah come up, and we're going to have her tell you a little bit of what they've been doing in Sunday school with the kids. Do you want this here or not here?
It can stay here. Hello? Hello? Is it on? Is it on? Okay, sorry. Okay, so I don't know how many of you last year kind of remember us going through, I was teaching the kids a memory technique to try to help them remember different lists of different things. Like we did the Ten Commandments, we did the name of all the disciples. Well, this year I continued on with that, and what we did is, as we worked through our lessons in Answers in Genesis, we took one part of our lesson and put it into our list so that we could remember everything that we did throughout the year. So we're going to quick go through our two lists that we worked on. But first, we'll help remind you guys what our list is. So Sophia's going to help us remember what our pictures were for each of the different numbers. Sophia, do you remember number one?
Tree.
Number two?
Light switch.
Number three?
Triangle.
Number four?
Car.
Number five?
Hand.
Number six?
Bug.
Number seven?
Heaven.
Number eight?
Octopus.
Number nine?
Tic-tac-toe.
And number 10?
Bone pin and bone ball.
Very good. Okay, so then we'll move on to what we What we learned about is what God's word is or what it tells us. So Noah, what is God's word?
God's word is perfect.
Very good. Number two.
Immutable. Our foundation.
Right. God's word is our foundation. Christiana, number three.
Trinity.
Yep. Tells us about the Trinity. God's word is?
Forever.
Forever. Good. God's word is? Number five.
Incomplete.
Very good. God's word, or you cannot?
Add or delete.
Anything from it. Number seven, God's word tells us of his?
Existence.
Very good. Number eight, God's word tells us about his many
attributes.
And God's word tells us he is
the only one like him.
Very good. Okay, so then number eight was our many attributes. We also went through and memorized and talked about what all of his attributes are. So now they've memorized what all the attributes are. So now these are the attributes. God is
omnipotent.
Very good. God is
immutable.
Immutable. God is
omniscient.
Omniscient.
Omnipresent.
Omnipresent. Good. God is
loving and compassionate and merciful.
That's good. God is
independent.
Independent.
God is holy.
God is holy.
God is, what's number eight? God is eternal and infinite.
Very good. Number nine.
God is faithful and gracious.
Very good. And
God is sovereign and wise.
There you go. So so that's pretty much what took us the entire year when we interrupted it with Christmas programs and holidays and everything else. But that's what we learned. Then the last thing that we'd like to do is this year for our kind of singing time, we just kind of went back to some of the oldies, and the kids want to do two of their favorite songs that they did this year. So the first one, you guys will all know this and join in if you want, right?
Father Abraham had many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord right on. Father Abraham had many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord, right arm, left arm. Father Abraham had many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord, right arm, left arm, right foot. Father Abraham had many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord, right arm, left arm, right foot, left foot. Father Abraham had many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord, right arm, left foot, chin up. Father Abraham had many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord, right arm, right foot, chin up, turn around. Father Abraham. son said, Father Abraham, I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Right arm, left arm, right foot, chin up, turn around, sit down.
Good job.
I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never zoom o'er the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never zoom o'er the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir.
You guys can
get treats.
What?
Give them treats.
Sure. You guys get treats too.
Good job, guys. Thank you, Sarah. Appreciate it. Before we go on, I need to make a correction. I don't know why I'm so nervous today. I've done this before, but for some reason, I'm feeling pressure or something. But I made a mistake before. As I told you guys, that the pastor has the ability to forgive sins. He doesn't. God has given the position of the pastor the authority to announce the forgiveness of sins. So I found it necessary to make that correction. So forgive me on that, and I wanted to make that straight before we got going here. So join me in prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask you to come right now, Lord, and I just pray for a calmness on me and a power of your presence, Lord, and just a presence on this congregation, Lord. Lord, I pray that whatever is spoken or said or laid on the hearts of people, Lord, would be from you. And I just ask, Lord, that you would direct thoughts and just be in the middle of everything we do. I pray this in your name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So I want to talk today. I want to start out by talking about Memorial Day, and I want to begin with Memorial Day. And one thing I've noticed lacking in, I'll just say America in general, We're missing a heaviness and a weight that's supposed to be associated with Memorial Day, and somehow it's not always there. And I want to talk about that a little bit, because Memorial Day is far more than having an extra day off work, and it's far more than barbecues and the official kickoff of summer and camping and all those other fun things and going crappie fishing or whatever, you know, it has meant in the past. It's way, way more than that. And I think it's beneficial to feel the weight and the heaviness of Memorial Day because of what it is. I don't know if any of you caught it on Friday. There was a news report. Anybody hear of the Doughboys? Anybody know what that means? I never heard of it before. Anybody? Brian?
That was military during the First World War.
During World War I. That is what they call the military in World War I. And there is a website that they were talking about. These people have a ministry, if you will. They want to identify all the MIA, all the missing in action people, and try and honor them. And I was astounded to learn how many people in World War I were just plain missing in action. And do you know how devastating that had to be for their families? These people, some of them, the family members now, went to their graves never finding out and knowing what happened to their loved ones. The one in particular was a person who was on a ship in the Navy, and they were able to finally figure out what happened. He was washed overboard in rough seas. He was lost at sea, washed off the ship. He was giving signals to another ship at the time. And they just recently were able to confirm and document all this, and they were able to recognize this and as to what happened to him. But it was important to do that even years after everybody associated with this was gone because of his great sacrifice. My cousin Alan lives down in Illinois, and occasionally he'll tell me a story of a guy named Randy Ramstead. And Randy Ramstead was a neighbor, and their neighbors were close. My uncle, I won't go into the details, but he lived with my cousin Al at the time, and he was good friends with Randy Ramstead. Well, Randy Ramstead was killed in Vietnam. And Alan remembers the day when the word came to the mother and to that family, and he told me he could hear the cries of the mother wailing for her son across the road. And I think that even to this day, Memorial Day, for that mother has a weight and a heaviness that we cannot begin to comprehend. Many of you remember in the first Desert Storm War, General Schwarzkopf, and we seem to have this amazingly quick victory. And everybody, of course, the media was predicting another Vietnam at the time and catastrophic results and a quagmire. And so everybody was really amazed at how quickly it ended and how few the casualties were. And they asked him about that. I remember this. They said, you know, General Schwarzkopf, what do you attribute the low casualties of this war to? And he looked at this reporter and he said, there are over 179 American families to whom the casualties of this war were catastrophic and beyond comprehension, because those families lived on without their loved one who lost their life in that war. Some of you may have remembered that last year in August, we prayed for a family. There was a soldier, his name was Matt Thompson. And he lost his life. I never met Matt, but I went to high school with his mother, with Linda Thompson, and we heard about this, and we prayed for them. And Matt left behind a wife, a young wife in her 20s, her name was Rachel, and then Mark and Linda, and then just all their family. He's a member of the Green Berets, and he lost his life in Afghanistan. I want to read something. Now, again, because I'm an alumni of Milwaukee Lutheran, there's an email that went out that they're keeping us all posted as to what was happening in the life of this classmate. So this is from Linda Thompson, and this was written on September 23rd of last year. It has been a month now. Mark and I, Linda, love being parents. This has been and continues to be one of our favorite roles in life since Matthew was born in 1988. Now, pay attention to the dates and the times of how everything transpired here. She says, on Sunday, August 21st, I was in church, which was Brookfield Lutheran. I was in church, and the Lord kept strongly reminding me that children are a gift from God. He said, they are not yours, but a gift. The Lord gives and he takes away. By the end of church service, I agreed with God because he's always right. I thanked him for our wonderful children and acknowledged that we had done our best and were so proud of them all. Robin was leaving for college the next morning and we would start new roles as parents and empty nesters. This would be a new challenge for us. So that was on Sunday. Monday, August 22nd. I felt so ill all day and just kept praying for our children. Tuesday, August 23rd. Mark heard from Rachel and then told me Matthew was in heaven. It was so hard to imagine. Our hearts were broken and tears would not stop. We know that God has a plan, and in Romans 8:28 it says, we all know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. But this is the hardest thing we could ever had to endure. Matthew means gift of God, and he truly was a gift. He was a constant joy and adventure. I never knew what my day would bring. I can still hear, "Hey, Mama, guess what?" His sparkling blue eyes and huge dimpled smile would flash at me, and I thought, okay, what are we in for now? But it was always fun. We would discuss his plan and if it was a good choice or not, or a not-so-good choice. Would it be something the three children had just accomplished? A group of kids coming for a party that night? Well, only a few, Mama, like 70. Camp pranks, Easter egg hunts, Africa, Special Forces, Green Beret. And hey, Mama, Rach and I are getting married in a few days. It was always an adventure, and I loved it. God gave Matthew many wonderful gifts and talents, and he made the most of them and blessed everyone along the way. He truly loved God and lived life for God. We are thankful to know that he is at peace enjoying heaven and that the Lord may have greeted him with, "Well done, good and faithful servant." We are so thankful to our wonderful family and friends that assisted, guided, befriended, prayed for, and mentored Matthew throughout his lifetime. This has been overwhelming, and our family greatly appreciates everyone's prayers and love. Look for the good in each day, keep a positive attitude, and most importantly, remember that we need God and will live for him. God's blessings to you, Linda and Mark. Now, on this site, there was another link, and in the email, Linda actually referred you to it. One of the sister-in-laws of Rachel set up a website, a memorial to honor Matt. And I want to read you one of the entries on that website. It starts, "Dear Jonah, you attended a major event today that you can't fully understand. That you can't fully understand yet. Someday I'll explain why we went into a van to the Army base to see the plane come in as our family, the soldiers, and officials stood in silence. I'm sure you recognize that Auntie Rachel was very brave to walk forward as a box with a flag came off the plane. I'll tell you why a motorcade went in front of the black car and our van and why people hung flags off the freeway overpass, why people stopped their cars to salute or wave. I'll tell you why you said you saw people making hearts for you when you looked out the window. I'll explain why we followed the box with the flag on it into the funeral home and laid our hands on top of it to pray. I hope you realize that it was all significant, and it will be a memory that I can bring to light to you when you're older. You'll be so proud that you were his nephew. You will be shaped by his heroism. Uncle Matt loved your spirit. And he was proud of you. Love your mommy who will help you. Sorry. Your mommy who will help you remember. We need to feel the weight and heaviness of Memorial Day. We cannot begin to comprehend what it was like for the families who also gave so much. This is a day that we need to remember for those people who served in the military, Memorial Day is every day for them. They don't wake up without thinking of these things. For this family, it's every day. They think about their loved one they lost. This country, we are granted such amazing freedoms and privileges, and we have a responsibility to those who died and to their families who lived on. We have a responsibility to be responsible for the freedoms we have been given by God and by the people who have served in the military to protect those freedoms and to bring freedom to other people and to change their lives. We have a responsibility to vote, to be involved in our communities. We have a responsibility to pray, and we cannot forsake those responsibilities ever. We owe it to them to do so. That's what Memorial Day is. I also mentioned that today is Ascension Sunday, and I started with the angel Gabriel showing up and coming in front of Mary. Can you imagine what it was like to be Mary at that very young age, 12, 13, 14 years old, doing your thing, and all of a sudden, boom, there's an angel in front of you. Just imagine that. Middle of March, going about, and all of a sudden there's an angel talking to you. How your life was changed and how her life was changed. It started with that angel, and then we know what transpired next. She had to get through Joseph not believing her, probably her own parents not believing her. What would you say if your daughter came home and said, yeah, I'm pregnant. God, you won't believe what happened. An angel showed up. And they say, where's Joseph? We want to talk to him right now. You know, this is what they're dealing with. And then God intervened, as God always does. And the very pregnant Mary and Joseph, a census now, really? Right now? Can you imagine, men, if you told your wives who were about 9 months pregnant, hey, we need to go down to this place right now because there's a census going on. I don't think that would be a great conversation I'd want to have. So they leave, and they go down to Bethlehem, and it's crowded, and there's, think of what they went through. And all of a sudden, she's in labor. No hospital. This is what it's like to be the mother of Jesus, to have God come into your life. And they lived through it. And they had the miracles of the shepherds showing up and all the Simeon in the temple and all these things. And then one night, in the middle of the night, right when maybe things are calming down for Mary, Joseph wakes her up. Right now, we got to leave right now. What are you talking about? We got to go. We got to get out of here. So they flee to Egypt. So Mary flees to Egypt, down there for a period of time, waiting for people to get out of power and die back home. Finally comes back, and they reside in Nazareth. Now, I'm sure all Mary wanted was a quiet life at this point, because it probably wasn't a real good idea to tell too many people about how Jesus came to be. And one day, they are in Jerusalem, and Jesus goes missing. And she can't find him for 3 days. For 3 days, they can't find Jesus. And after 3 days, finally, they find him in the temple, and Mary goes, why have you treated us this way? And Jesus goes, well, didn't you know I'd be about my Father's business? Now, honestly, moms, what would you have said to Jesus if he would have said that to you, right? You get over here right now. And Scripture says he was obedient to them. So this is Mary's life, this roller coaster of life. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is the wedding of Cana. I love it because of the relationship between Mary and Jesus. You know the story. They're having a wedding. Jesus is invited, but his ministry hasn't started yet. They run out of wine. Now, Mary, being a mother, not really caring that Jesus at this point is from God, but there's a problem, and Mary is the fixer. She's going to fix this problem. She goes to Jesus. She says, hey, they ran out of wine. And evidently, things that happened prior to this where she knew to do this, okay? The fact that Jesus could do supernatural things wasn't a mystery to Mary at all. Because she goes to him and says, we're out of wine. And he's like, are you kidding me, Mom? What do you want me to do? Fix it. You know, fix this problem. And he's going, Mom, you're unbelievable. You're unbelievable. He goes, I just don't believe it. Exasperated, Jesus laughs, throws his hands up, walks away. And Mary rolls her eyes, grabs the servants and says, look, I don't care how stupid it sounds, how ridiculous, whatever he tells you to do, just do it. Walks away, goes back to her relative, says, taken care of, don't worry about it. This is Mary. A little while later, we have the Feast of Booths. John 7, verse 5. His own brothers don't believe that he is the Messiah. Now, you got to understand something. If they don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah, they don't believe in the virgin birth, they don't believe in Mary. So Mary's other sons think it's all a lie. Okay? They don't believe any of it. So that's what Mary's dealing with. A little later on, things are going crazy. The crowds are going nuts. The Jews are trying to kill Jesus. Things are getting out of control. And in Mark 3:21, it says the family went to gather him because they thought he was out of his mind. So even now, Mary is going, I don't get any of this. What is going on? And then things progress to the cross and the unthinkable. Mary standing at the foot of the cross watching her own son die. Whatever was in her head that day the angel showed up, Gabriel showed up and said that God is with you, this wasn't it. She didn't see this coming. And she watched her son die and be buried. And she watched the stone be rolled in front of the grave, and she walked away from it, and her son was dead, and she had no idea what was going on like everybody else. And there she is, not much different than some of the other mothers who lost their sons or daughters or police officers, wives, or children who have been shot. Then the resurrection takes place. I have to believe, although it's not recorded in Scripture, I have to believe that Mary had a private conversation with Jesus. At some point, I think Jesus got alone with Mary and had a conversation, because I don't think Mary would have stood not to have that conversation. You know, hi, Jesus, get over here right now. We're going to talk. And then for 40 days, he's popping in and out. He's here, then he's not here. He shows up here. He shows up there. There's no rhyme or reason, it seems, to what he's doing. And you think by that time, Mary's going, we need to talk again. What are you doing here? And then there's a day of the ascension where Jesus has all people together, his disciples together, and Jesus leaves this earth and goes into heaven. I want you to see the finality of this moment, because Jesus wasn't going to be popping in and out of them anymore. He left this earth to go to heaven. He ascended into heaven. Everything changed. Everything that was before that point will not be that way after. And the disciples stood there staring like, really? What? This is it? And the angels had to come and say, stop staring. Get on with things. Go back to Jerusalem. Just wait for the next step, but they didn't know what the next step was going to be. So one of the messages that I have here, and I guess the tie that I'm trying to make between Memorial Day and Ascension Sunday, is that when Matt Thompson was killed, he ascended into heaven through the power of the resurrected Jesus Christ. When Alice Harmon passed on last week, she ascended into heaven. And she's up in heaven with Jesus. And for those of us who are left to live day in and day out with this change, the finality of it crashing down on you, I got a word for you this morning. With God, it's never over. Whatever you think is happening today, God can come in the middle of it. What do you think Mary and the disciples thought after Good Friday? It's over. Sunday came. When God's involved, it's never over. I don't care what your circumstances are. I don't care what you're dealing with. I don't care what's happened in your life. It's never over with God. God always has something more. He's in the middle of every change. No matter how final that change seems, he is in the midst of it. With God, it's never over. Psalm 66, verse 12. You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, yet you have brought us out to a place of abundance. Psalm 46, 15. Or 1 to 5, depending on how I typed it. Psalm 46, 1 to 5. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. When God will help her when the morning dawns. That's the word for those who are struggling. Understand, God is in the middle of whatever it is that you're facing, and God will not be moved. And there is restoration, and there is hope and a future through God. There's a prayer that at the beginning of the year, that it's not really a prayer, it's a song that the Lord has just laid on my heart over and over again, and he's causing me to memorize it, which I have, but I don't trust myself, so I typed out what I wanted to read. The hymn, Be Still My Soul. And in closing, I want you to hear the words to this stanza in light of Memorial Day. Be still, my soul, when dearest friends depart, and all is darkened by a veil of tears. Then shalt thou better know his love is heart, who soothes thy sorrows and thy fears. Be still, my soul, thy Jesus can repay. From all his fullness, all he takes away. We don't know how God could possibly restore and repay from his fullness certain things that are taken out of our life. It's incomprehensible to us. But I'm telling you, not only he can, he will. He will restore out of his fullness all that's been taken away. Would you join me in prayer? Lord God, you gave us a nation in which we live, Lord, which we have been given incredible, precious freedoms. They come from you, Lord. And Lord, there are those who have given so much to protect and to stand for those freedoms. Those who have lost their lives and the family members of those who live on after their loved ones are taken from them. Lord, I pray for them. I pray for the Thompsons. I pray for the Ramsteds, Lord. I just pray for all those, Lord, who have lost family, who have lost sons, who have lost daughters. We pray for the families of the police officers who have been killed in the line of duty, Lord God. From your fullness, Lord Jesus, restore all that's been taken away. We pray that in your name. You did it with Job, Lord. Do it with them. Pray that in your name. Lord, may we never take for granted the freedoms afforded to us, Lord. And Lord, may we also rest in the assurance and the comfort that when those we love are taken from us, Lord, that we know that they ascended into heaven and they are with you, Lord, now, and they do go on and we will see them again. We say that, Lord, to try and comfort ourselves sometimes, but it is true. And you have made that way. Lord Jesus, we thank you. Amen.
I fall down upon the ground, press my face against the earth, till my heart it rises over my head. As the wheat it bows down low, when the autumn wind blows, I kneel before the one I love. Find me grateful, find me thankful, find me on my knees. Find me dreaming, find me singing, find me lost in your grace. Like the dust that you first held in a garden where you knelt, pull me up against your face again, till the breath of your hope fills the depths of my soul, till all I know is I've been found by love. Find me grateful, find me thankful, find me on my knees. Find me dreaming, find me singing, find me lost in your grace. Like the dust that you first held in the garden where you knelt, pull me up against your face again, till the breath of your hope fills the depths of my soul, till all I know is I've been found by love. Find me grateful, find me thankful, find me on my knees. Find me dreaming, find me singing, find me lost in your grace. Find me grateful, find me thankful, find me on my knees.
Before we pray, something about Matthew Thompson that just kind of occurred to me while I was listening to Jeff talk, and it takes me way back to when he was in eighth grade, and I was talking to his dad, and is this on, by the way?
Yeah.
Okay. And I missed the point that his dad was making, and they were making a decision what Matthew should do for high school, and I think maybe even his dad might have missed it. Maybe I just missed it, but he had decided he was going to Brookfield Central or East.
Central.
Brookfield Central, and because you know, and he said you know, he was kind of looking at it like, hey, I'm saving a lot of money from Milwaukee Lutheran to Brookfield East, and that was the point I was getting. I was like, what a miss. Well, what I missed in that, and it just occurred, it just came back to me, is that he said that Matthew wanted to be a missionary in that school. 13. Pretty impressive young man. In fact, he and his friends wrote, Lucas used Matthew Thompson in a speech and did some research on him, talking about taking risks. And it's not what I want to talk to you about, but he's going to help me a little bit, because there were some points that he had written a list of things. And share a little bit, and I'm going to tie it together, and then we'll pray.
When Matthew was 18, as he was graduating high school, he wrote down a list of 10 rules to live by. And those are, and so I use some of these rules in my speech, just, which was kind of a speech just being a tribute to Matthew Thompson a little bit. But the sixth rule that he listed was pursue with a passion. And whatever he did in his life, he wanted to pursue it with a passion. And you could see that at Brookfield Central, where he was coming in from the outside. He had been to private school and grade school, but he was immediately became a leader. He ended up being the captain of his football team. He played trombone in the band. He was an honor student. And so he just really excelled in his place at Brookfield Central, and he was that leader, and he pursued everything he did with a passion. And then his seventh rule was never settle. And you can also see that in what he did. He just never settled for anything less than what he wanted to achieve. And after he graduated college, he went and he established a mission home for orphan boys in Kenya. And he did so many things with his life. And he didn't want to settle for anything less than the goals he felt that he needed to achieve and where he thought that God should lead him. Then most importantly, his 10th rule for life was that he needed God and he would follow him. And so he's pursuing all these different things in his life, pursuing them passionately. He's not settling. He's going out and doing great things. He's establishing mission homes in Africa. He becomes a member of the United States Special Forces. But through that, his main goal and his main rule for life was he needs God and he's going to follow him.
Thanks. Yeah, no, and so I guess the little bit of bow that I want to put on this is that, we as a church, we have a responsibility to, know God, love him, and be everything for him. But also, in our daily lives, whether it was John Stenson when he was here, whether it's, you listen about Matthew Thompson, whether it's reading scripture, is that God puts people in our lives, across us every single day and every single moment of every day. He's putting somebody in your life, in your path, and there's a reason for that. Now, are you going to follow God and move forward with the Great Commission, with the person that's checking you out at the grocery store or at the gas station? That doesn't mean you have to be like laying out the gospel every single time, but be attentive, be attuned. Love the people around you. God's putting them in your path for a reason, and that's what we're going to do about it. So, the mission field, we all have a mission field. We don't consider ourselves missionaries. We are. Every single place, every single day. We don't have to go to Africa. We don't have to establish a mission in Africa. We can just go to school and be a missionary. We can just go to work and be a missionary. We can go to the grocery store and be a missionary. And so just as I was thinking about all these things while I was listening to Jeff and some of the things that Lucas has told me about him. And in his research, there's amazing stories of that young man. So with that, I'm going to ask Lucas to help me pray. Join us in prayer, please. 1 second.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today just to, first of all, thank you for all that you've given us, but also to thank you for your unending grace. We can fall down 1,000 times, and you'll pick us back up every single time. And today I just pray for Rachel. She asked for forgiveness as she's been lying to staff members where she lives, and I just pray that you would forgive her, and I know you will forgive her, because your grace never ends. Your grace never runs out. And it doesn't matter how many times we run away from you, you will always welcome us back with open arms. And so we definitely forgive Rachel, and we know that you will too. So thank you for that.
Heavenly Father, you are great and you're merciful. You are a great God. And Lord, give us that realization every day of who you are, that realization that came to Mary and Martha and Mary his mother and the disciples when you broke the grave, when you rose, that going from that mentality and that position of despair to full victory just in a snap. But give us that confidence in who you are and what you have done for us, so that we can walk in this world knowing that there is nothing that stands in our way when we are following you, when we are putting you first in our lives. Lord, we we pray a prayer of thanks to with Mark and Nancy Thone. Praise the Lord for the birth of twins to their son and daughter-in-law. The baby girl, Ginger, is in NICU, breathing difficulty, not eating, has a feeding tube. Baby boy is doing well and may go home tomorrow, but healing for daughter-in-law and you know, following the C-section. And Lord, birth is a beautiful thing, but it's hard, and just witnessing it is hard. But coming through that, mom and daughter right now need your healing, and we just pray, Lord, that you touch Ginger with your healing hand and allow her to breathe and to eat and to let all those organs work the way they're supposed to, and that she can join her brother at home very soon. And Lord, we are just so thankful for these new lives that you've blessed these new parents with and grandparents. And we just pray that you surround that whole family and that whole circumstance. And Lord, we also just want to pray one more time, just a prayer of thanksgiving to those that throughout the history of our country, those that have laid down their lives for our freedoms, that they were willing to stand in that breach, stand in harm's way, so that this great country can continue on, so that the freedoms and the inspiration of freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom to worship you in the way that you put on our conscience to worship. And Lord, it's a unique experiment in the history of this world, and you have blessed us with it, and you blessed us in it here. And we do not have enough to show our thanks to those that that did give the ultimate sacrifice for us. And Lord, not just them, but those that are willing to do that, but especially those that did fall. And as we go through the rest of this weekend, Lord, we just pray that that little bit is on our heart, that we're thinking about that, that we're honoring that. And Lord, we just pray that as we go our different ways, that you continue to fill us, pour into us your Holy Spirit, Lord, that that we honor you and that we show our devotion to you in everything that we do and say. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Rise for the blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And Lord, lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Amen. Announcements after the song or before? Do we do announcements before or after? Song, okay. All right.
I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night. You tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're good Father, it's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you, it's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, because you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am, It's who I am. It's who I am.
You are perfect in all of your ways.
You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us.
You are perfect in all of your ways.
You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. Love so undeniable, I can hardly speak. Peace so unexplainable, I can hardly think as you call me. Deeper still as you call.